greetings to everyone, and those out on Zoom land and those present here. And I guess it's my turn, but don't worry, it's not my turn to sing. I just get organized here a little bit. I got my notes, got my book to keep my notes up. I got my time, and I got a little Starbucks and a sandwich. Just in case I go over, you know, too long or so. Okay. And I do appreciate the music we had. It was very joyful, and it was kind of carried the idea of Thanksgiving. You kind of got the feeling of it just from the music. So I said welcome to everybody. Now, I'm going to start off with the title of my sermon today. It's The World, Chaos, and Christ's Return. Now, I've studied a lot recently and, you know, in the past, and heard a lot of pundits speaking, and they talk about something that has just enveloped the world, just enveloped it. And Mr. Brown used the words last week or so, things are not just right. There's something wrong in the world. And of course, we know it's basically Satan's activity. But we see the world and the United States in kind of a burn and crash mode. World events are in a free fall, morally, politically, you know, legally, militarily, financially, and economically. If you watch the news, that's what you see. When you hear the pundits speak, that's what they talk about one time or another. Things are just not right in the world. And it adds up to the fact that the world is in chaos. In chaos. The world, chaos, and then Jesus returns. So today in the sermon, I'm going to relate to you something specific that God instructs you to do now, presently, under the world conditions. What the Bible teaches us to do as the world sinks into chaos. We start with Mark 13. 32 and 33, and you can read these later, speaking about Jesus' return. But of that day and hour, this is very common, you all know this and could recite it with no problem. But of the day and hour of Jesus' return, no one knows. We do not know. And that theme's going to play throughout here. And the angels in heaven don't know, and Jesus Christ doesn't know, but only the Father knows. So take heed. The scripture tells us, it goes on. Take heed. Mark 13, 32 and 33. Take heed. Watch. Watch and pray. And why? What's the reason that we should watch and pray? He tells us right there. For you do not know when the time of Jesus' coming is. We have to watch and pray because we're ignorant of that very point, the point that we've heard about all the time we're in the church. We don't know the time of Jesus' coming. That is why they're telling us to watch and pray. And pray is like get ready and get prepared. So you see, the reason we should do it is because we don't know the time of Jesus' return. Then Jesus speaks a parable and amplifies this point. Mark 13, 34. It is like a man going, and that's Jesus, right? A man going to a far country. Who has left his house, and he gave authority to his servants, and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper what? To watch. To watch. We're going to play on this and amplify it later, but I'm getting a point across. This is something that the Bible tells us we are to do, to watch. Now, Paul also gave us a warning along this same line in 1 Thessalonians 5, 5 and 6. He says, you are sons of light. That's what you are. That's why he's giving you and me this message, you see, in the Bible, this the sons of light and sons of day. You are not of the night. See, the night is the evil, the way the Bible depicts it sometimes, and of Satan. See, therefore, because of that, let us not sleep as others do, but what? But let us watch and be sober. Now, the sleep here is not our nighttime sleep. It's a spiritual sleep we should not have, and we have to watch. That's the point there. So if we are to watch, as the scripture tells us, what are we to watch for? Can't just say watch. So what are we supposed to look for? First of all, in general, we have to watch for two things in general. First, the events that Jesus himself commanded us to watch, and we're going to go through those. And secondarily, we are instructed to watch and pray, to watch ourselves, our thoughts, our attitudes, our conduct. You see, to pray and be prepared. That's the second thing we're to watch. Watch what Jesus tells us to look for and to watch ourselves. So let us first review the events that Jesus instructs us to watch for. See? And these arise out of two questions that the apostles or the disciples asked Jesus. These two questions that they ask him are found in Matthew 24, 3. So here the two questions are, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Now, the disciples thought this was an important point. That's why they raised it. It wasn't just idle thinking. And Jesus thought it was important enough because he responded to it in detail. In detail. So we're going to amplify those. So what do we mean by a sign? It says, what is the sign? That's part of the key here. What is the sign of your coming? See, a sign is something that conveys information. Now, it conveys information through words or pictures. And if you went for a driver's license, you're very much aware of those signs, right? You've seen them and you had to answer questions about them. But it also depicts the sign events. And Jesus used events as his response to the two questions, when are you coming, when are you going to return, and when is the end of the age? Now, it's clear we have to understand that when Jesus coming or the end of the age are at the same time, that's one event. So all the signs that Jesus talks about pertains to both of those events. In his response, Jesus set forth 10 signs. 10 signs that we are to watch for. And Paul gave us one. Now I know some people, they don't like to hear harsh things. They don't want to hear bad things. They want to hear good things, smooth things. They want to hear, and I heard it, why do you talk about all those negative things? Why? Why don't you just talk about good things like Jesus coming? Well, this is what we are talking about. But all these events, they are all comes out of the mouth of Jesus of what happens when he comes. It's a day of darkness. It's hard times. So we are talking about Jesus coming. We are talking about good news. But first of all, we have to get through the signs that he's telling us to watch for. And we find these in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. We find the signs that Jesus said, here, when you see these, you're going to know the answer to your questions, you see. And I'm going to just go through Mark basically and take the others to fill in where they're not in Mark, okay? And it's interesting to note that this response of Jesus to his disciples is called by many authors the mini apocalypse. The mini apocalypse. These are the things we are to watch for. So the first sign that we are to watch for is Matthew 24, 4 and 5. And Jesus answered and said, take heed that no one deceives you, for many false messengers will come, and many will believe them. Now that's another word that plays out to the whole series. Many, many evils are going to come, and many people are going to fall away and fall for it and leave. Many, you see. So the second sign that we are to watch for, Matthew 24, 6 and 7, and you will hear wars and rumors of wars. And don't be troubled, though, because this is not the end. For these things must come to pass. For nation must rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. That's going to grow worse. And, of course, all you have to do is watch current news today, and you see that being fulfilled through China and Russia and Iran. Everything out there is like a tinderbox just waiting to explode, you see. Now, the third sign we ought to watch for, Matthew 24, 7, there'll be famines and earthquakes in various places. See? Now, God has blessed us with so much, you know, we can't quite envision famine. We don't know what famine is, you see, although it's infecting even today many parts of this globe, many parts of this world. Some people even die of starvation, a lack of food. See, so you cannot look to history and say, oh, these things have always happened, Helgi. They've always come to pass. So what's new? No, we're talking now about the context. It shows that these events that Jesus are talking about are unprecedented in their impact and their severity. Not just what we have, they're going to grow into a crescendo is what's going to happen. That's what they talk about. Reminds me of Leviticus 26, where he said, you know, I'm going to punish you for your sins. And if you don't repent, I'm going to increase it. If you still don't repent, I'm going to increase it some more. That's kind of the concept of the way things are going to grow. Now, the fourth sign that Jesus said that we are to watch for, Matthew 24, 9, then you will be handed over for persecution and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. And we hear that hatred all the time in the news. Constantly they're shouting out, you know, death to Israel, death to America, and so on. So we can see it's going to come. And the greater persecution, though, that's not the great persecution. The great persecution we find in Matthew 24, 21. So what's the fifth sign now we're supposed to look for and watch for that Jesus tells us? Now, this is his command, you know. You say, well, that's a lot of details and so on. This is Jesus talking. This is what he was telling disciples. You got a question when I come and the end of the age, and he's giving us the sign to look for. So we got a great blessing here. It's information we should want, you see, and hunger for and be thankful for, as we heard in the first message. Matthew 24, 10. This is the fifth sign. And many will turn away from the faith and betray and hate one another. So things are going downhill according to this. But the Bad news is also good news, because it's telling us when Jesus is coming, see. So when you read some of these scriptures, it's hard to imagine they're coming to pass. However, we want to consider Paul's statement. It helps us to understand in 2 Timothy 3:1, 1 through 4. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 4. He too is talking about the last days. Perilous times will come. They'll be lovers of themselves. And I won't go through the whole litany there. They're unthankful, unholy, unloving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of what is good. What is good? And they're going to despise what is good. See? So you're not going to be able to sell it easily. They're going to be traitors, headstrong, haughty. And then the final key, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It's Narcissus is going to be at the epitome. Me, I want to satisfy me. I want to satisfy my flesh. That's the key. Nothing else matters. Just to satisfy myself. You see, and lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Not only they don't love God. You talk to many people out there, they just reject God. That's growing today. See, morality says, you know, you shouldn't do that. You see, when they throw God out the window, then morality says, hey, that's evil what you're doing. You shouldn't do that. And then the world gives a snarky answer, why not? Why not? And if you don't have the Bible and God as the reason, that's a good question. You can't answer it. Why not? Why not just serve yourself? See, we have to be God-focused, God-centered. And, of course, obviously on his son as well. So the sixth sign that we are to watch for is Jesus speaking. Matthew 24:11. And again, many false prophets will rise up and deceive what? A few? No, many. Many. There's going to be a lot of people. It seems warming seats that really don't really believe. They don't want to really hear some of this, you see. This is why we must self-study the scriptures and pray for discernment so we can distinguish between the truth of God and the doctrines of men. The seventh sign, Matthew 24:12-13. Because of the increase of wickedness. You see, always been wickedness. The increase of wickedness. The love of many will grow cold. The love of many will grow cold. I always remember back in the 50s when people first came into church, they had what you call the first love. They wanted to know everything about the Bible. Everything was new. Everything was new, and they just loved it. At every Bible study, they'd be there. Every sermon, they wanted to get every word, you see. But that love is going to grow cold, it says. Unfortunately, and wickedness will grow cold. See, and again, there's always been wickedness, but this is, now we're talking about the magnitude and the unbridled wickedness that's coming. So the eighth sign that we are to watch for, Matthew 24:21. For then there will be great tribulation, great, that has not been since the beginning of the world. Now, if you know anything about history, there have been very terrible times. But what's coming is going to be greater. That's what he keeps hitting over and over here again. Things are going downhill. You see, to watch for. Great tribulation that has not been since the beginning of the world and never shall be. After this, after all these events occur before Jesus coming, we're not going to have anything worse than that. It's going to be over. So if Jesus is to have any meaning, you have to accept that this is the worst of the worst, you see. In John 16:2, they're going to put you out of the synagogues. Now you wonder, is that just being put out of the church? Or is that because, let's say, something like Islam could be in control, and they say, you're out of the church, we're taking it over, we're going to turn it into a mosque, you see. Maybe, just a thought, you see. It says, for the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that they offer God a service, and that smacks of Islam. Islam, their concepts of fulfilling their religion, you see. So the ninth sign, Matthew 24:29, immediately after the tribulation, those days the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light, and stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Now that stars will fall from heaven, I think about that. Many times I would read it and think, stars falling from heaven? You know, let's think about that one. Well, I got some figures here. Now, I'm not a great one to say count how many stars there are, because the numbers are the number of stars, etc. They're way beyond our thinking, okay? We can't see that in figures, okay? So the stars will fall. How could that be that stars are going to fall from heaven? So let's talk. We have to talk about a little weight here or something. A thimble fall. Now, thimble, I remember my mother used to sew, and a little thimble was on one little notch of the finger. That's all. And the needle wouldn't hit, okay? That's all a thimble is. A thimble full of a neutron star weighs what? 50 pounds? 100? 100 million tons, okay? The Earth itself weighs about 6 billion trillion metric tons. Now, again, I don't like to get into weights and figures, but I have to here for this reason. Now, picture yourself now up in the heavens, way up in the heavens, just outside of God's throne up there so we don't pollute it, okay? And we're looking down, and what do we see? We see this mass cosmos. In the center, you might say, is Earth. And here are billions and billions and billions of stars, all this heavy weight we talked about. And you know what? When you look and you see, there's nothing holding them up. There's nothing holding them. There's no sky hook. We used to talk about sky hooks when I worked on construction, carrying lumber. It was kind of a joke, get a sky hook. There's no sky hooks. There's no foundation. There's no logs. There's no pillars holding them up. They're just hanging there with nothing holding them up. Nothing except God's word and God's power. That's the only thing that keeps those stars hanging there and going in their courses. So when the Bible talks about the stars falling, you can just see where God says, okay, it's at the end time, star number umpteen name, or what he says, he names them also, gives it a name, so-and-so, I'm cutting the tether. I'm now saying my word power is being removed and there's nothing holding you up. And then that big, massive, gigantic ball of gas, burning gas, will come falling down and flying by the earth. Not close, because it would burn the earth, burn us up, but far enough away so that we can see it and feel it and become really frightened. See, this is not going to be like a skyrocket on 4th of July. Big, massive stars falling, and I could see that's what I see there when it talks about stars falling from the sky. So these events that God talks about are not far-fetched. And the 10th sign to watch for, Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world as a witness. and all nations. Then will the end come. Then, yes, there is an end. There is an end of Jesus. He gives the sign and he says, here's the end. And it says in Matthew 24:30, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And there's your ultimate sign. The ultimate sign. Jesus Christ appearing in heaven. So, but all these horrors, he said, don't blame me, he said, if it's too horrible, then strike it out of your Bible, I guess. Take a big marker. You see, then all you'll have is good things. That's all you'll have. But you'll miss out on the truth of God and what's coming and what we should be watching for. That'll be the ultimate sign. Then there's the 11th sign, the final sign that Paul talks about. I didn't quite know where to fit it, so I put it at the end. And that's in 2 Thessalonians 2:1. 2 Thessalonians 2:1. He says, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord. So you see, he's talking about the same time as the questions that were propounded to Jesus, okay? Let no one deceive you by any means. Again, you see, don't let anybody deceive you. That's a key that's coming in the future. He says, for that day will not come. Paul, strong words, and he was a great theologian. That day of Jesus coming will not come. There's got to be some signs ahead of time, some events ahead of time. And what are they? See, the falling away has to come first. Now, I'd like to have time, but there's no time to kind of talk about all these things. We just have to say them. Paul says, the falling away comes first, and the man of sin revealed. Now, those things have to occur before Jesus comes, so people can't tell you, oh, yeah, Jesus could come tomorrow. No, these things, all these signs have to grow, and that one specifically. So now, why should we watch? Why? Why? We are told to watch. We're told what to watch for. And now, why watch as these events unfold? What are the consequences if we don't watch? Maybe it's too hard to watch. Maybe it's too negative to watch. We want to hear some smooth things. Smooth things. Not these hard things. Not the negatives. So what's the consequence if we don't watch? Well, it's interesting. The word itself, watch, according to Vine's Expository Dictionary, it says to give strict attention to really pay attention very carefully, and get this now, to take heed, lest through remission and indolence, some destructive calamity befall you. Isn't that interesting on watch? And everything we heard, they told us to watch for. We really got to focus, because the negative, the part of what's going to happen if we don't, it's right into the word, watch. Could be a calamity, see. And we're going to touch upon that. Now, there are some parables, and these parables, they follow the signs that Jesus talked about, okay? The consequences of failing to watch. Now, Matthew 24:36 tells us again, just to repeat, we don't know when the time is that Jesus is coming. You see, or the end of the age, we just know these things to look for about his coming. So in Matthew now gives us an example, just before the parables, gives us an example of Noah. You see, why should we watch? What's the consequence of failing to watch? He gives us the example of Noah, you see, to warn us of the consequence of not watching. Matthew 24:37-39. But as the days of Noah were, now you go back in your mind, you remember now, and go back to Genesis, etc., right? So also will it be at the coming of Jesus, the man, the Son of Man? So we gotta gonna have a repeat here. So whatever they talk about now at Noah's time is gonna be talking about the future here. See? And what happened during that time? If you want to explain that, read. God himself said, he's looking down at the time of Noah, and he says, I'm sorry I even made man. I'm sorry I even made man. That tells how bad things were then. See? And so that's going to be like the coming of the Son of Man. For the days before the flood, they were eating and marrying and giving in marriage. And that was always kind of a, well, so that must just be giving all pleasure, turning over to pleasure, you see. Giving yourself over with no constraints. But giving in marriage, it seems now, may have more meaning with Justice Roberts, giving the Supreme Court decision the final tilt for, you know, men marrying men and so on, women marrying women. So that may play into this as well. So until the day, you see, all these things occurred. They just had life and pleasure. That was their pursuit. No God, pleasure. That was the pursuit. And it went right up to the day that Noah entered the ark. They were still doing this until the waters began to flood down and pour down from the mountains, you see. And they did not know. They were ignorant about the flood until the flood came. Right? They weren't watching, were they? They were ignorant of it. And he says that's the time that's going to come in the future. And it took them all away. It swept them away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. You don't watch, then you'll be within that group. You see? They didn't know until the very end and the flood pouring down. You see? Because they didn't watch and they didn't pray and they didn't get ready. So Matthew gives us the meaning of this. We don't have to guess. Okay, you can't whitewash it. He tells us. Matthew 24:42. Watch, therefore. He gave us the story of Noah, then he says, watch, therefore, because of this, because of the story I've told you, because of the events that are coming. Watch, therefore, for you do not know the hour of Jesus' coming. The very reason, again, you see, why we should watch, because we don't know. That's why we should watch. In short, they were continuing with everyday lifestyle. No thought whatsoever of a flood coming. Not watching. Hence, they were not prepared to enter the ark. They were not qualified to enter the ark. They were swept away. See? So what happens if we don't watch? Will we be outside the ark? Right? Will we be outside the ark? That you can just also tie in the five foolish virgins for yourself. So Mark carries the same theme. First, Mark 13:34-37. Mark 13:34-37. There's a man, and this man is Jesus, going to a far country, who left his house and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. You see the repetition? You don't know when I'm coming. He says it right in the parable. He says it more than once. He's telling us, because you don't know when I'm coming, you better watch and you better pray and prepare for it, you see. He says, and then this is the beautiful part of it. Here's Jesus talking to his disciples and say, well, that's for the disciples. But here's what he says at the end. And what I say to you, I say to all. Isn't that beautiful? Watch. Beautiful ending of that one. And what I say to you, I say to all. Watch. So then in Matthew 24, 44 through 51, we have the same thing. If the evil servant says in his heart, my master delays his coming. Oh, we heard about Jesus coming, Helgi, all the time. Back in the 50s, oh, it was the gun lap. We heard about that. And he hasn't come, you see? And so if this evil servant says, my master delays his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants, in other words, to do evil things, and to eat and drink with drunkards, right? Matthew 24, 50 continues, the master, then again, that's Jesus, that servant, he will come on a day when the servant is not looking for him. You see, if we don't look at these signs, we won't be looking for Jesus. Oh, there's trouble in the world. Oh, yes, yes, that always happens. You won't be looking and tying it in with Jesus coming. Tie it in. He told you. He gave you 10 points to look for, see? So he'll come when he is not looking for him at an hour he's not aware of, and he will be cut in two. Now, I want to explain that. I want to explain that. Now, maybe we don't know the full meaning rather than the surface of that, but we know it's not good, right? It's not good. But the thing is, when I read that, you see, it's not God's modus operandi. That's not what we feel. He got fire, yes, but not talk about cutting people in two. So what does that mean? He said, the statement cut in two, when you read the story there, the person that's supposed to be cut in two, a little later it talks about him being alive. So therefore we have to go back to these words and say, cut in two, what does that mean? Okay, and it's more fitly translated, as some authors have said, to go through a scourging. See, remember the Bible talks about being some beaten, you know, with a few times and many beaten many times and so on. So it's through a scourging, and scourging very severely. So it's not cut in two. But anyway, that's the point. That's what happens. A beating, a detriment, if not watching, okay? Luke then picks up the parable of the fig tree, analogizing it to the coming kingdom of God. Luke 21, 35 through 36. And it'll come as a snare. Now we know what a snare is. It's a trap, you see? Boom! And it closes. Okay? And that's the way that Jesus and the kingdom of God is going to come if we're not watching. If we're watching, it won't come as a snare because we know it's going to come, you see? And those who dwell on the face, upon the face of the whole earth, not just talking about Christians, and therefore what? So what's the thought now? That was from Luke, right? Luke 21. And he tells you the conclusion. Watch, therefore. Over and over again, we're told, watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape. You get that? And all these things that will come to pass, all the things we talked about, here he says, watch, so you're counted worthy to escape those things and to stand before the Son of Man. Okay? See, it has to do with not only your being worthy to escape the end times, but also to stand before Jesus Christ. Now, in Romans 14:10, it says we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So what's the difference between this and the others? Well, it talks about being worthy to stand before the Son of Man. That means we go there with confidence that we're going to be vindicated of our sins, of our wrongdoing, and we're going to receive a wonderful reward. So you see, but watching, you may be counted worthy to escape and to stand before the Son of Man, knowing that you're going to receive a reward and not punishment. You see that? That's what the scripture tells you. Now Luke also said that watching can count worthy to escape. The last time, the event spoken of those by Jesus, see. So unlike Noah's time, they did not watch, right? They did not watch. They didn't escape the events. They were swept away by the flood, just carried away, trying to swim long as they could and wiped out, see. But you can be, and I can be, saved from that. Escape, we'll escape it if we only watch about Jesus coming and be prepared. So it's clear, watching and being prepared for Jesus' coming brings blessings, and not watching brings catastrophe. So recall we said there was two things. There was watching ourselves. See, we had to watch ourselves as well. We watched for all the things that Jesus said to watch for, and now the other thing, to watch for ourselves. You got to look at yourself, you see. Now, what does the scripture say about that? Just briefly, I had to cut many out. 1 Corinthians 11:28. 1 Corinthians 11:28. Everyone ought to examine themselves. Examine being akin to watching, you see. Watch your attitudes. Watch your concern for other people. Watch your conduct. That's what he's talking about, okay? And we'll elaborate a little on that. 1 Corinthians 11:31, if we would judge ourselves, if we would watch ourselves and judge ourselves, we would not be judged. We could stand before, as it said, Jesus Christ with confidence, okay? And James 1:22, be doers of the word, be doers of God's words, and not sinners only, deceiving yourself. Now we have scripture saying, oh, many are going to come, many false prophets deceiving. Hey, it's not false prophets here. You're deceiving yourself. You're your own false prophet. You see that? Be doers of the word, not hearers, so as to deceive yourself. Haggai 1:5. Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Watch. Watch yourself. Are you on the right path? A path that was lit up, as David said, a light to my path. Okay? Now, 1 Timothy 4:16. 1 Timothy 4:16. Keep a close watch. Isn't that something now? Right along this theme. Keep a close watch on how you live. There's a tells you now. That's what we're talking about, watching yourself. Keep a close watch on how you live. This is Paul talking to Timothy. Stay true to what is right. Stay true to what is right. All through these problems happening, stay true to what is right. And get this ending. For the sake of your salvation. That's how important it is to watch yourself. See, and you're supposed to be a light to the world, a light to the world. You're helping God help people to change. You see that? So Matthew 26:41, and this Jesus speaking in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says, watch and pray. Watch and pray. That means be prepared. Watch yourself, you see. Watch the events that Jesus spoke about, okay? See, lest you enter into temptation. That's the problem as we wait for Jesus, right? We wait for his coming in the end of the age. Watch because of temptation, lest you are tempted. For the Spirit is willing. Yes, I'm going to stand, but the flesh is weak. That's what he says. That's his warning. So in conclusion, you know, it may sound very righteous. Now, I don't know anybody that's done this, so don't say, oh, he's talking about me, okay? It may sound very righteous to throw out your TV, stop all the newspapers, all the magazines and newspapers, and you cut yourself off because of all these bad events that are going on in the world. And you don't want to hear about evil. You want to be like those three monkeys I used to have when I was a kid, three monkeys. Hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. Okay? And so you get rid of all of that. You see, then you close your door. You close the blinds. And it's peace. There's peace. There is no evil, right? There's nothing wrong. Everything's going just fine. I don't know anything about what's going on in the world. But it's going on. The world is crumbling. But you're closed off from it. And as we learned, that's dangerous. Because you think, peace, peace, but what? But there is no peace. The world's falling apart. So you better be ready to watch and not close yourself off from the events. You don't have to watch every grisly detail about the crimes that go on. Who shot who? How did they shoot him? What kind of ammo did he use? Blah. No. If you just know that these things are occurring, you see, you don't have to watch all the grisly parts. All you got to know is about Jihad John and a guy, a Christian, kneeling before him. You don't have to watch the whole event, you see. So, see, but that is not what God wants you to do. He doesn't want you to be ignorant. He's telling you just the opposite. He's saying, don't be ignorant. Be knowledgeable of what's going on. You see that? Now consider the parable of the 10 virgins, Matthew 25, 1 through 13. The key, now all this, I heard many, many sermons about this, okay? But the key is the fact that the five virgins, you see, that didn't have the oil, okay? Now, they all slept like the other virgins, so that doesn't count. They all had oil, like the other, so that doesn't count. So what was the big thing about these five virgins, okay? They didn't have enough of God's Holy Spirit, that's oil, God's Holy Spirit or the oil, at the time that Jesus came. They weren't watching. So when they came, they come up and said, oh, Jesus is coming. Oh, you know, we don't have enough oil. And the analogy to that is we weren't watching and don't have enough of God's Spirit. You see that? Within us. And there's a Spirit that God has, and it flows, and it can be refilled or emptied, you see. So, and what happens? They were barred, just like the flood. Remember? They couldn't get in the ark. And these virgins couldn't get into the wedding supper. They weren't watching, see. They did not watch the signs and prepare by examining themselves. Hence, they were barred from going into the wedding supper. So in Matthew 25, 13, the final conclusion, watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. That's the message that Jesus gave in answer to the disciples that asked him the question about, when are you coming, Jesus, and when's the end of the age? So let us watch.